greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many say we know the Master? Amen. God bless you richly. Let us just turn to our Bibles. Proverbs 6. Proverbs, the chapter will be chapter 6. And then from verse 16. Proverbs 6:16. Let's read it together. These six things doth the Lord hate. Are we all reading? Amen. These six things doth the Lord hate. Sounds like it. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. And a heart that deviseth the wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth a discord among brethren. I would imagine that what God loves, you love. And what God hates, you hate. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you during this midweek service. We have come here so that an eternal part in our innermost being can be addressed by you. We realize, dear God, that there is a certain area within us that no psychologist, no doctor can reach. It is only you and you alone that can reach that area. And we realize that we may be good in as far as the health of the body is concerned. We realize that we may be in good spirits as far as the happiness is concerned. But as long as the soul is not at peace, it doesn't matter how much we enjoy at the body and the spirit realm. That is why we have come here, so that you can come and speak to our souls. Because when our souls are in line with your word, it just brings that inner peace, and that surpasses all understanding. We want to thank you for such a beautiful song service. We want to thank you for such a wonderful atmosphere that is here. Want to thank you for the believers. Brother Branham has taught us that every believer, when they come to church, they are so important, because each and every one of them, they've got a portion of their pillar of fire. And dear God, tonight we've got a much bigger pillar of fire because of all the pillar of fires that are added together to make that big pillar of fire. And for that, we want to thank you for the brethren. Dear God, they came here not to listen to a man, but Lord, just to come and be in touch with their Maker. And Lord, if there is any way that I may become a stumbling block when you speak to your people, find a way just to make me step aside. Because Lord, my humanity is not needed in any way. There is a divine and supernatural activity as we commit everything to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you richly. Just an apology from Brother Watt. And then an apology from Brother Chetty is working. And as well as Brother Dipadi is running a bit late. I presume even Brother Mpanyana, they are running a bit late. Amen. May God richly bless them. How many were blessed on Sunday? How many were helped on Sunday? Amen. Amen. So, I don't know. Since I've been preaching in this church for many years, it was the first time where I see an overwhelming demand for notes. Amen. So I had to transmit the notes or the presentation to all those that needed it. And if you still need a presentation, you are most welcome to speak to the technical team. They will be able to assist you. Amen. And then if as an individual, based on what we spoke about, you are not sure where you fit in the quadrant, you are most welcome to see me. I can help you beyond a shadow of doubt so that you know where you belong. Amen. Or if you don't need to even to come, you can just send me a text. I can send you a link, and then there is few things that you can do. Then in no time you will know where you fit. Are we together? I realized when we were speaking on Sunday, some people were just looking at the strength, and they got attracted and say, based on the strength, that's me. No, it doesn't work like that. It has to be scientific. Amen. And you've got to be honest with yourself, because if you mislead yourself, you will be misplaced. And when you are misplaced, you will not be able to leverage or get the benefit from what we're speaking about. And what we dealt with on Sunday, if the more we get into that, and I intend to continue with it, if the Lord willing, it's not the Lord willing, on Sunday. Because we know what they are. Then we must check what are their impact in our day-to-day lives. What is their impact in our marriages? Are we together? And I think it is going to help us so much. Psychologists, they say your IQ does not increase despite the amount of information that you accumulate over the years. The same IQ that you had in primary school is the same IQ that you have now. But what increases is what they call emotional intelligence, your ability to interact with people, to be responsive to the environment that you find yourself in. That is increased based on how you work on it. Are we together? So part of what we were doing on Sunday, some people may call it an emotional intelligence. Because when you are aware of yourself, you are aware of your strengths, you are aware of your weaknesses, and when you are aware of your weaknesses, you can manage your weaknesses and you can enhance your strengths. Then you become a fulfilled human being. Are we together? So I'm glad if somewhat it helped, because when I was preparing the message, I thought it was going to be very complicated, but I was quite amazed to find even Sunday school children talking outside and say, where do you fit in? Amen. And my sons, they went to school and asked the teacher and say, where do you fit? And I was amazed when they came back and said, some of the teachers, they don't know these things. So if you don't know where the child fits in, or you don't know where you fit as a teacher, that is why we've got teachers that will become impatient with children and will be too quick to say, this child is a slow learner, only to find that actually is the teacher that is a slow teacher. Are we together? Remember, I'm not on that, but I want to advise you as parents, don't label your children. Einstein was not able to speak properly until after the age of 5, but he went on to become the greatest scientist of this 20th century. We have just buried one of the best scientists of the 20th century. I forgot his name. He was on a wheelchair, but he came up with a lot of concepts that changed the scientific world. But you need to know that within every child, there is something special. Are we together? Can I get an amen on parents? Amen. And what you tell your children can propel them to greater heights. But we are not on that. But we had a great Sunday by God's grace. And it is not because one spoke well, it's because of the prayers of the saints. Amen. Now, we want to speak on these 7 things that God hates. Amen. And then as we read, it says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, 7 an abomination unto him. And then we are just going to pick them one by one. The first one is a proud look. A proud look, already you can sense or can pick up that it is synonymous with pride. So God hates pride. Are we together? And we find that what changed the angels into devils or demons, it is pride. And what is changing a human being to be as an angel is humility. With God, pride won't take you far, but humility will take you far. The scripture says, pride cometh before the fall. Are we together? So, and look how it is. There are 2 circumstances that can create pride in your life. One circumstance is when you are wrong and you cannot face it. The second one is when you are right and everybody is wrong. It can still create pride. Did you get that one? It doesn't mean that pride comes because you are wrong. Sometimes it comes because you are right. And right there, the devil can somewhat put the spirit of pride there. Are we together? Brother Brum says in this message, experiences. He says, but brother, don't never think that you are a little bit better than somebody else or somebody is a little lower than you. Are we together? Because a demon of pride is a demon of class. When you consider yourself to be of a higher class and you consider other people to be of lower class, then it develops the spirit of pride. And pride creates a complex. As a human being, let me advise you, every human being that you meet somewhat is superior to you one way or the other. There is something that they are good at it without you knowing about it. Are we together? So, and we as children of God, well, let me continue with the quotation. You remember, we are all on one equality with God. We are his sons and daughters. And if we are sons and daughters of God, let's act like it. Talk like it. Live like it. Be like it, sons and daughters of God. So that means God has, it is not in God's nature to undermine anybody. Because if it was in his nature, many of us were not even qualified even to speak about the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The reason today we are able to praise God, sing and worship him is because God looked at us and saw something valuable in us. Are we together? And then when God is in us, then we need to be God-like. Let me give an example of what I talk about. There is a pastor that wanted to demonstrate something to his church. He dressed like a hobo one Sunday morning. And he came looking extremely dirty with torn clothes. And he came by the entrance of the church and he was there. And people were coming in one by one, ignoring him. Some got irritated and impatient with him. And later, as the song service started, towards the end, when they wanted to call the pastor, the same hobo that they saw at the entrance is the same hobo that came behind the pulpit. Now, people that mistreated him there were ashamed. Are we together? And he spoke about something. He said, never ever treat people based on how they look. Hallelujah. Every person deserves a certain degree of respect. But for you to do that, you've got to come to a point where you realize you are no better than anybody else. We are all equal before the Almighty God. And if you want to be a healthy, functional, sound church, just make sure that you treat each other with a sense of equality. What does it mean? A rich man must feel comfortable. A poor man must feel comfortable because it has nothing to do with their standing. All of us were equal before God. Are we together? Isn't such a healthy church, brethren? Amen. Now, he continues in the message, the Queen of the South. He says, you see what pride and selfishness does. It shuts you out from the kingdom of God. And that is why we said what moved or changed that archangel that was an archangel to become Satan, it was not adultery, but it was pride. Adultery was committed in the Garden of Eden, but pride is the very genesis of sin that started in a heavenly realm. And if God never was not able to bear with pride, even when it emanated from the archangel, he will never bear with pride upon the face of the earth. Are you still with me? Now, you look at Cain, what made him to kill his brother was not necessarily any other thing, but he was driven by pride. And now we find a king called Uzziah, that insisted that I can go into the temple and offer the sacrifices, and he was struck by leprosy. But what drove that behavior, it was pride. Are we together? Judas hung on the tree. What drove him there was pride. Brother Branham, when he speaks about Uzziah in the message, The Influence, paragraph 84, he says, but this all happened, and it shows here an example I would like to draw from this afternoon to show that how God can bless a man and make him great. And you know, when the king got or felt secure, felt it to a place that he was just absolutely anchored, there was no way for him to ever fall. God lifted up in pride. That's when he took his tumble. That's where any man will take his tumble. The higher you go, become humble. And I'm speaking as a minister of the gospel. There is no people that are vulnerable to pride like ministers. And I've realized somebody was saying, you can grow a ministry while your heart is growing cold. And what will make a heart to grow cold? Pride. Where you get to a point where you say, when I speak, they hear me. When I do this, they understand. It is none of those things. It is the grace of God. Are we together? Now, the second thing that God hates, it's a lying spirit or a lying tongue. In the message, Enticing Spirits, paragraph 46, he says, watch just a few minutes on the physical. We have for many years, we've got what we call a lie detector. You can put it on the wrist, set it across their head. You can put it there and try your best to make a lie sound like the truth. It will register negative every time because the human was not made to lie. That's why lie detector, they normally, when they put you on a lie detector, they first ask you, what is your name? And they ask you, who's your mother's name? Where do you come from? But they are observing that gadget. And the moment they begin to ask you sensitive questions, then your heart begins to beat faster because a human being was not made to lie. So they are able to compare when you were speaking to the truth, how relaxed you were. And when you begin to speak a lie, then you become to have, your heart begins to beat higher. Are we together? But I want to say, let me continue. Brother Rum says, the human was not made to lie. Lying is deceitful, hard thing, evil thing. I would rather have a drunkard with me any day than a liar. Because a drunkard will speak the truth. But one of the most difficult things that is there is to help a liar. Because when a liar has got a problem or an issue, and he narrates that this is my problem, and you find a solution to the problem, and you think it's the best solution, only to find that actually it was not the problem. He even lied about that. Because a solution that is based on lie is going to be the right solution. Are we together? And let me tell you something. When you lie, you must have a good memory. Because why? And the nature of lying is that once you tell one lie, you've got to tell 1,000 to cover up for the first one. And the people that have mastered the art of interrogation, when they arrest a criminal or a suspect, they put them in the police custody. They can subject them to interrogation the whole day until the whole night. The more you get tired is the more the contradictions come, because you can maintain a lie up to a point. What is the best thing? Tell the truth all the time. Hallelujah. When you tell the truth at all time, you may become unpopular, but there are people that even who hate you, they will say, but you know, that one will tell you the truth. Are we together? Now he says, I would rather have, and I don't know how many agree with me, you rather stay with a drunkard than a liar. Your body wasn't made to lie. And no matter how much you try to impersonate and try to make a lie seem right, they've got a scientific instrument that proves that it's wrong. And that is why the best way to lie is over the phone. That is why they say when you need the truth, speak to a person face to face. Because why? The eye are the windows to the soul. Hallelujah. Do we agree with me? The scripture, Proverbs 12, verse 22, you don't have to read it, I'll read it here. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And furthermore, James 3, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Are we together? It's a very tiny member in the body, but it can cause so much damage. Wars that have erupted around the world is because of a tongue. Divorces in the courts is because of a tongue. Church splits is because of a tongue. The lives have been destroyed because of poor tongue management. Are we together? Now, the third thing that he hates, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, here, what comes to our mind already is murder, somebody that commits murder, because the scripture says, thou shalt not kill. But another thing, Brother Brandon brings something, he says, sometime, the other thing that can make you a murderer without committing a cold-blooded murder, it is simply how you can misrepresent a character of somebody. Brother Bram said, by killing their influence, it is as good as having killed them, literally. Are we together? What does it mean when we function as the local body or as the body or the universal body of Jesus Christ? Brother Branham says, if you've got nothing good to say about your brother, what did he say? You just keep quiet. If you've got nothing good to talk about your sister, you just keep quiet. Are we together? Why? A Christian is somebody that uplifts the people. A Christian is somebody that edifies the people. A Christian is somebody that is driven by love. Are we together? Wherever you find a Christian, he wants to build. Wherever you find a Christian, they are bridge builders. Are we together? Are you still with me? Now, he says in this message, you people in Hebrews, paragraph 349, and you people with the saw blade tempers that's always spouting off in the mouth that somebody can't put up things like that. Be careful. You are guilty if you speak a weight against your brother. That's not right. Go around and tear down it. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. Are we together? A Christian, if you want to be a kind of a Christian that has a favor with God, whenever there is an issue with an individual, go directly to the individual. Take ownership and say, I observed, this is what I've seen, and this is what I think can be done to help you. Are we together? When you go to the next person, you can kill a person's influence without realizing it. And a lot of times, especially again, I'm preaching to myself as well, especially ministers, a lot of times you see pastors' children going haywire. You see ministers' children going haywire. A lot of times it's because people are not able to handle issues in their household. If you gossip about the affairs of other people to your children, you are not destroying those people, you are destroying your own children. Hallelujah. I made it a policy that certain things I cannot discuss, even with my wife. Because why? I don't want, if a brother does something, I discuss it with my wife, and the brother repents on it, and next time he preaches here, my wife is locked in that mood that, you know, that brother, you don't know what he did. Are we together? So you need to be responsible. Not only leaders, but as well as members, you need to be responsible. If your child comes to you and say, Mama, I've observed, I go to the same school with so-and-so, and they're not living right. Oh, don't be ashamed. Take responsibility and say, my child, have you seen it? Because I'm coming to another one. You've got to be an eyewitness. Eyewitness is not based on hearsay. Eyewitness is say, I saw what happened. I'm a witness of that. And you can say to my child, in such cases, to help this individual, let me go and visit them and ask them about this matter. And when it is resolved, according to the Bible, then it makes your children to have confidence in your conduct as a parent. Amen. And while at it, it does not mean if somebody was not to be living right in the assembly, Brother Brahman says it's not the pastor's responsibility, it's not the deacon's, it's your responsibility. And if you know somebody that does not live right, and you are aware of it, and you do nothing about it, you are as guilty as the person that is doing it. Because why? You are complicit. You are an accomplice in the process. You see how Christianity sometimes, for you to stand for Christianity, sometimes you've got to take a reproach. Are we together? Never be a kind of a Christian that is afraid to confront matters. Wrong is wrong and it needs to be confronted. And when you confront wrong, you are not killing an individual. You are helping an individual. But when you keep quiet, you are killing the individual. And by that, you are guilty by misrepresentation. Amen. Now, another thing that he hates, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations. There's too many things that can qualify in the category as wicked imaginations. Young men, hear me out. You can enjoy pornography in the comfort of your own space. But what you consume privately has a way of expressing itself publicly. Wicked, what made him to destroy the generation of Noah, he says, a man's imagination was continually evil. And for that, that means there's got to be images that fit those wicked imaginations. Are you still with me? I liked how I know a cycle of ministers somewhere, they were holding each other accountable, and they said, in this cycle, they managed to have the passwords. They agreed that they must circulate the private passwords of their computers amongst themselves, because you are able to lock. I'm able to lock if I've got somebody's computer password. I can lock onto it even when they are in Cape Town. There's a way remote access. There's a way to access it. So they said, let's circulate it so that as ministers we keep each other honest, so that if one has got a problem, we can pick it up quickly. And my question is, if we were to have a password of your computer, of your iPad, of your cell phone, what are we going to find? And if you've got reservations and you are becoming jittery of what we may find, then it may be that your heart deviseth wicked imaginations. I know, speaking like this, we're preaching somewhere, and most young people came in one-on-one counseling sessions, and the number one problem that they were battling with was pornography. And they are in the message. They have been baptized, but they struggle with this matter. And not only young people, allow me to preach, even married people, some battle with this demon of pornography. I can hear even Satan becomes uncomfortable that I dwell on it, because it's a universal problem. It's making young men to sink. But God can deliver you from that addiction. It says in the message, what think ye of Christ? It says, God is going to judge you by your attitude towards Jesus Christ. Hell wasn't made for Christians. Hell was made for unbelievers. And God has done everything that he can to keep people to bypass hell so that you won't have to go there. He sent the law. He sent the prophets. He sent his son. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the churches. He allowed the hymns. Everything to try to keep you from going to hell. Hell was not made for people. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. But if you go there, it's because you willingly want to go. If you can't, because you can't go easily there, you can't go easy. You have to fight your way into it. You can't go to hell easy. You have to fight your way to it. Why? When something has become a wicked imagination, for you to act upon it, you've got to make plans. You've got to maneuver around it. Are we together? And when I let it, adultery is not a mistake. Adultery is planning. There's a lot of planning that goes into it. Hallelujah. Theft is not just a coincidence. There is a lot of planning that goes into it. And go and check. Before every person falls, there's been a prolonged planning before the actual fall. Are we together? And while the scripture says, shun the very appearance of evil. If you see that this thing is going to get you into trouble, shy away from it. Are we together? Do you allow me to preach, or maybe I don't know whether I'm making sense this evening. There are certain things that may start innocently, but it may put you on a slippery slope. That's why as a Christian, you've got to be vigilant. A boy that is on drugs or the boy that is drinking didn't just wake up and become addicted. It was one thing that led to the next. And before he knew it or she knew it, it became addiction. But the Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. And I'm saying to you, for you to go to hell is easy. It's not easy. To go to heaven is easy. For you to go to hell, you must fight for it. You must break certain protocols to show that I want to end up in hell. But because why? God has sent the prophet. God has sent the Holy Spirit. God has sent the message. God allowed his son to shed his own blood. There is enough power for deliverance if a person is willing to be delivered. Are you still with me? Another thing that he hates, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Busybody. A busybody is someone who's too interested in things that don't involve them. Hallelujah. And I say it is better to find your nose in the Bible or in the spoken word than in somebody's business. I'll repeat that. It is better to find your nose in the Bible or in the spoken word than in somebody's business. Are we still together? Bring 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11, if you can bring it up on the screen. For, this is Paul speaking, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Do you mind to read with me? Waking not at all. Not doing anything. But are busy bodies. A busybody is a person that takes this news to this point, takes this ones to that point. In no time, everybody around them are fighting. Why? It's somewhat, if you leave it as it is, I'm not continuing. It's people that don't have a purpose. It's people that just live aimlessly. They are idling, and we know that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Are we together? Folks, there is a lot to be done. If it says not working, it doesn't mean that it's sisters that are unemployed. No, a sister that is house executive, there's a lot that they can do in the house. And I've realized being a house executive is more tougher than going to work. There's just too many balls hanging in the air. Which it does not refer to that. And even whenever you have spare time, use it wisely. Do you know Brother Branham speaks about, he says, people are prostituting with their time. What does it mean to prostitute with time? It means this time belongs to God. You use it for something else. Are you still with me? Bring 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. First Timothy 5, verse 13, 1-3. Okay. Maybe let's read it in Amplified. Moreover, if you read it with me, as they go about from house to house.
As they go about from house to house.
Hallelujah. Look, a person that comes to your house must bring good news. Must bring news that uplifts you. Not news that pollutes your soul. Are we together? They learn to be idlers. Not only idlers. But gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say and talking of things they should not mention. How do you determine that something has been spoken that should not be mentioned? Over years, what has helped me, and I attribute that to my spiritual upbringing, by Pastor Mugowi. He taught us that if somebody mentions somebody's name, immediately you say, hang on, let me get them on the call. He says, if you do that, they will never ever come to you with gossip. He who gossips to you undermines you. People don't gossip with people that they take seriously. Are we together?
Amen.
And gossipers, they know those that cannot take chances with. They will tell you, in some time back in some assembly, there was a group of sisters that were gossiping, and they had this sister. Every time they gossip, she's the first one to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I want you to call so-and-so. I want to apologize. We were gossiping about her. And later she would go to the group and say, no, but it's fine. After a while, they forget about it, they gossip. She goes to the pastor and says, Pastor, I'm here to apologize again. We gossip about somebody else. Call them, I want to apologize. Until they realize that this one, you cannot keep such in our group. Be that believer. Are we together?
Amen.
When you are a pastor, the devil attempts a lot of things. Would attempt to bring any person that brings a matter before me, I always say, are you willing to be a witness? If the person says, so don't mention me, I say, no, you are a crook. Because if the matter is serious, you need to put face to the matter. I need to be able to say, I know this brother told me. This sister told me. With me, you don't take chances. If you bring something, we're going to follow it through until logical completion. Are we together? There's nothing that I just entertain. It becomes part of gravy vine. No, sir. And if the matter is known and it involves the church, make sure the church has got to know how we started with the matter and how we resolved with the matter. In this church, we don't sweep anything under the carpet. And rightly, one of the people that advised me, and I dearly respect them and honor them for the advice that they gave me when I started in the ministry, somebody said, Brother Madiba, whatever you do, every issue that comes to your table, make sure that you handle it in a scriptural manner. At no point in time must you sweep anything under the carpet. Because he said to me, if you sweep something under the carpet and it's between you and this guy and it gets swept under the carpet, he says the day cometh where that person, if he's a deacon or is a trustee or whatever, they can decide that we are leaving church. Guess what? They are going to go under the carpet. And if there are matters there, you'll be dealing with skeletons. I always make sure there are no skeletons. Every matter must be dealt scripturally. Even you, deal with matters scripturally. Are you with me? A false witness that speaketh lies. Brother Bram says in this message, at thy word, Lord, he says, now remember, a witness has to be a witness. Eyewitness to know what they are speaking of. It can't be secondarily. When you deal with somebody that says, I'm a witness, they must not say, I heard. No. Who did you hear? Let's go to the person that you have heard. And if they as well have heard, let's take them to the other one that has heard. Until we get to somebody that says, I saw. And if we don't get to anybody that says, I saw, all these people, we dismiss them as false witnesses. Are we together? In the message, All Things, paragraph 16, and here, brothers, I want you to be with me. Or maybe let me read it so that you understand. Don't find yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't find yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time. A Christian walks wherever there is light. Amen. Hallelujah. Why I'm saying this, and today you need to have an alibi. Or if you are a brother that is always a loner, without moving around with your wife, should there be accusation, who's going to be an alibi? Let me read so that you understand what I talk about. All Things, paragraph 16, says, like that precious Baptist brother down here not long ago, that a woman said he came into her house and insulted her. You heard about it? It was over here somewhere in the south, and about 3 years ago, or maybe not that long. And that minister proved with his congregation that he was 150 miles away for days before, and the same day, and many days after. Even the courts wanted to turn around and ask the minister if he wanted to sue the woman for slandering a minister's name. And said the minister said, let her go. And did you see that popular vote across the country? Quickly, they slammed his name everywhere. And the people said, 70% of Americans said, oh, where there is smoke, there is fire. Now that precious brother will have to linger under that all of his days when he's as innocent as anybody else. There you are. Do you see what slander can do? But did you check it? It says, for him to prove, he and his congregation proved where he was few weeks before and few weeks after. So that means this man was very transparent. If he says, I'm going to Zimbabwe, he was going to Zimbabwe. And there's a brother that drops him at the airport, then there's a brother that picks him at the airport, and there's a brother that fetches him in Zimbabwe. He is not lost somewhere in between. Be such a man, so that if there could be issues, you will say, I've got an alibi. Are you here, people? Amen. And in this church, I encourage brothers that are married always to be with their wives. You may not understand while I'm talking here and say, why should I have my wife all the time? You will only know one day when you are in trouble. And you will realize, and people will ask and say, do you know about it, sister? And the wife say, I don't know about it. And say, if the wife doesn't know about it, there is no smoke without fire. Avoid scenarios that can conjure up this statement, there is no smoke without fire. Avoid smokes, brothers. Amen. And folks, I don't know how some people, if a sister is sick, I cannot just jump into the car and say, I'm going to visit the sister, I'm the pastor, the sister is sick. And I get to the hospital, sit next to the sister's bed there, how are you? And the nurses even get confused. Is he your husband? No, that is a misrepresentation of faith. When a pastor goes to see a sick sister, the pastor must take his wife or must take a deacon.
Yes, sir.
That's what makes this message to be dignified. Amen. Can I have an amen on that? The last thing that he considered to be an abomination soweth a discord among brethren. In the message Enticing Spirits, paragraph 90, he says, amongst a lot of people we find where emotions and so forth, they become tattlings and bitings and all kind of ungodly things. Brother, that's sulfuric acid in the church. How many know sulfuric acid in the building? You pour it onto a material, it chows the material. Brother Bruno says, the moment you have such condition in the... And hear me out. People have got a tendency that when you preach about these things, they say, is there something? Sometimes we preach preventative sermons. Sometimes before the devil strikes, we already warn the church that be careful about this. It doesn't mean these things that I'm preaching are happening. I want you to be vigilant at all times. Are we together? Brother, that sulfuric acid in the church, it's demon power. Spirit of men and women who get among one another, try to push off, say, this is not right, this is not right, that's not right. If you'll chase it down, 99 times out of 10 is the very person making the stay, that's not right. God hates discord among brethren. Brother Brum says, you can take all the gifts away from the church, leave the church with one gift, love. Which brings me to this quotation. I did not know. When Brother Branham spoke about this, those that would know what happened after he died at Branham Tabernacle, you would understand why he spoke in the manner that he spoke in the quote that I'm about to read. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 80. Love one another. Above everything, love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say, now you're all one great big sweet group, but remember my warning, Satan won't let that stay that way. Even here, you are such a bunch, sweet bunch. Satan won't leave you that way. Now remember my warning. Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he will bring some critics or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness of things. While at it, something comes to my mind. I remember this quotation the other time I was somewhere and it was read by Pastor Blessing Chisholm. He read this quotation. It's quite amazing. As soon as God took him home, there's a lot of chaos that almost erupted, but the prayers of saints intervened. Are we together? Amen. Same thing with Branham Tabernacle. Brother Branham was taken off. Many things came up. You are one sweet bunch of a group. Even here, you must stay with together, love one another. Are we together? Amen. He says, if he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he will bring some critic or an unbeliever and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness and things. Then he will shoot that guy with some kind of a poison stuff. He will start to throw the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Are you still with me? Don't you have nothing to do with anything else? You stay right, loving, sweet and kind, one another. Pray for that man that you'll be saved to, or that woman, or whoever it is. Just pray for them and stick one with another and stay with your pastor. He's the shepherd, and you give him respect. He'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. What is happening, Brother Bloom says, if there is a matter, we come together in one harmony. We continue to love one another. you are now a sweet bunch, but the devil won't leave you that way. He will shoot everything at the church. That's why it needs people that are vigilant, that are aware of what God hates, and they hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. When you do that, you become a sound, spiritually healthy church. Hallelujah. Somebody gave a testimony and said, I love the sisters at Lighthouse Tabernacle. They are just one sweet bunch of people there for one another. I say, let us preserve that spirit. Are we together? Yes, sisters. Not allow pride in any way. If somebody comes wearing the same dress week in, week out, we don't talk about it. We rather quietly go somewhere, raise money, and buy the poor sister the dress to make sure that she feels welcome. By so doing, we become a sound church. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Then when you do that, you attract God's favor. God bless you richly as we stand. Right on time, 8 o'clock. I didn't take much time. God bless you richly. Did it help?
Amen.
Amen. Do you think if we go according to these principles, we'll be better off? God bless you richly. As we stand to our feet, there's a song, Brother Grace, it says, you are a good Zulu singer, man. That Vuma song that you sang, I almost thought you are a Zulu. Amen. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Then we are going to close with a word of prayer. Amen. Surrender all All to thee I surrender. And then we'll close with a word of prayer. Brother Dipadi will come and just close with a word of prayer.
Gracious God, here we are tonight, Father. We have come to your house, Heavenly Father, just to hear a word from you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
We are thankful for this moment, Heavenly Father, just to have a fellowship with you, Father. Father, here we are. We have laid our lives before thee. We say, Heavenly Father, we are nothing, Heavenly Father, without you, Heavenly Father. May you apply the blood, may you apply the token on our lives, Heavenly Father, so that, Father, we can be, Heavenly Father, upright Christians, Heavenly Father. Tonight you have spoken, Heavenly Father. May your word, Heavenly Father, find a place in our hearts, Heavenly Father. We know it is you who have been talking to us, Heavenly Father. You are always, Heavenly Father, helping us, Heavenly Father, uplifting us, Heavenly Father, showing us the way, a way, Father. So, Father, even tonight, that's what you did with our lives, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We are thankful for this message that we have brought, Heavenly Father. Father, hear your sons and daughters, Heavenly Father. You know, Heavenly Father, what is going on with the Heavenly Father, their lives, Heavenly Father. Some, they've raised their hands, Heavenly Father, as a sign of surrender, Father, as a sign of asking, Heavenly Father. Father, may you bless them, Heavenly Father. May you, Heavenly Father, fight for them, Heavenly Father, wherever they are, Heavenly Father. We know we are living in this world that is falling apart,
yes.
Heavenly Father. Wherever we are, Heavenly Father, it's just sin, Heavenly Father, all the attributes of sin, Father.
Thank you.
Father, but we say, thy grace may be with us, Heavenly Father. As Heavenly Father, always we come into your house, Heavenly Father, to be, Heavenly Father, perfected in your word, Heavenly
yes.
Father. Here is our pastor, Heavenly Father. Even tonight he has given us the word, Heavenly Father. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you may restore virtue that has gone out of him, Heavenly Father. Father, continue to bless him. Give him more revelation, Heavenly Father, as he undertakes, Heavenly Father, and lead us, Father, as sheep, Father. We, Heavenly Father, say, whoever, Heavenly Father, those that couldn't come, Heavenly Father, wherever they are, Heavenly Father, we say bless them, Heavenly Father. You know, Heavenly Father, what is going on with them, Heavenly Father. If there are boundaries of the devil, Heavenly Father, we say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we break them, Heavenly Father. Father, we hand this service to you, Heavenly Father, as we move out, Heavenly Father. May you be with us on our way homes, Heavenly Father. Bless our homes, Heavenly Father. As we commit ourselves, we commit everything to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you richly. Till we see you on Sunday, we'll continue where we left off the previous Sunday, with what we have been teaching. Amen. I think just one more dose will help much. Amen. Now, we can give us in the cross, in the cross, in the cross, and then thereafter. We're going to sing all of it. It's a beautiful hymn. And then thereafter, they will play instrumental while you are dismissed after the song.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. I pray, just by day, free to call.